and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I am the host of this talk show on travel. And this week, I have Cheryl Strayed in the studio. And Cheryl is the author of the best-selling book, Wild. And we are here right after the Mountain Film Picnic. I was able to snag Cheryl and say, Cheryl, would you come and do an interview for KOTO? So I'm thrilled to have Cheryl Strayed here. And I will be posting this as a podcast at my blog, bonjourcolorado.com, in case you don't have a chance to listen to the whole interview. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Cheryl Strayed to Travel Fun.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Cheryl, I heard you speak. Of course, I have to say I heard about your book, Wild, and I haven't read it yet, but I can't wait to crack it. And I heard you speak at the symposium for Mountain Film, which is, of course, a wonderful festival that kicks off summer here. And it's an ode to the mountains and to social causes. And it's about film and beauty and culture. And you spoke at the symposium. This year's theme was the wilderness, and how appropriate to have you. And I just loved what you had to say. So thank you for coming here.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very kind of you.
I would like you to start off and talk about how your journey brought you to writing the book, Wild.
Sure. Yeah, and I just want to say what an honor it was to be at Mountain Film this year and to speak at the symposium. I was so moved by every film I saw and every speaker I listened to. And I felt that I was among my tribe, you know, that very first day when we were at the symposium, and just hearing all of these people's stories about their relationship to the wilderness. And that's what I spoke of when I talked about my book. And I do think that that's what Wild is essentially about, is how, you know, what is our relationship? What's the human relationship to the wilderness? I myself went into the wilderness on my 1,100-mile hike on the Pacific Crest Trail, which I wrote about in my book, Wild, because I was at the bottom of my life. You know, I think that I was probably the least like what you would consider a wilderness trekker at that moment of my life. I was in my mid-20s. My mother had died very suddenly of cancer when I was 22 and she was 45. And my grief really unmoored me. I felt lost without my mom. I felt like I couldn't live without my mom. And so I did what a lot of people do in my sorrow. I self-destructed. And I think it was especially acute because I was in my early 20s when my mom died. And so, you know, I think that's a challenging time in life for most people anyway, even when you have a strong family system and strong support system. And I didn't have that. I didn't have a good father. He wasn't in my life. And so when my mom died, it was just me. And I got really involved with everything that was bad for me, wildly promiscuous sex, drugs. I became involved in using heroin. And I really reached a point where I just thought, why should I be here? What purpose do I have on this earth? And I also was acutely aware of, you know, all of the promise that I used to have, you know, all of it that I had lost. And I just reached a point about 3.5 years after my mom died where I realized that I couldn't squander my life. She had loved me too well. And to honor her would be to have a life, a fulfilled life, a life in which I, really thrived and fulfilled the promises that I'd, sort of made to myself as a kid. And so I went to the wilderness to do it. I'd grown up in the wilderness of northern Minnesota, off the grid for my teenage years, didn't have indoor plumbing, didn't have running water for a lot of the years of my teenage years, and not even electricity for some of that time. And, you know, way out in the country, 20 miles from the nearest town of 400 people. And so years later, when I was at that bottom, I just remembered what it felt like to be in the wilderness. I remembered the strength it gave me, the sense of gatheredness I felt in the woods, in the silent, wild places. And so I just decided I had to do something that was big and hard and alone and in the wilderness. So I decided to hike 1,100 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail.
You weren't starting small.
That's right. I've never been one to start small. And that's, you know, part of it is my personality. I do tend to be somebody who just goes all in. But I also knew that I had to do something big. You know, even back then I was an avid day hiker and I really enjoyed the wilderness, but I wanted to go further. I needed a full immersion experience, and I knew that I had to be away from my life for a significant period of time. And by what I mean my life, of course, I wasn't going away from my life, I was going into my life, but I mean I needed to go away from the life I was living. I was living in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the time, and just really, as I enumerated before, associating myself with things that were really bad for me. And so I needed to kind of break that pattern. It was 1995. I hiked the trail the summer of 95. I began on June 12th, and I finished my trip 94 days later. I began my trek in the Mojave Desert in Southern California, and I finished it at the Columbia River, which forms the border between Oregon and Washington. And it was life-changing.
How did you choose the Pacific Crest Trail?
By pure chance, by accident. So I was living in Minneapolis, working as a waitress, sleeping with, you know, whoever came along, abusing and using drugs and alcohol in destructive ways. And there had been a blizzard. And I went to buy a little foldable shovel to dig my truck out of the snow. My truck was mired in the snow. So I went to the local REI. And I was waiting in line to pay for the shovel. And there was this row of books near the cash register. And I saw this book, just to kill time, I, you know, picked up one of the books. And it was called The Pacific Crest Trail, Volume 1, California. There was a picture of a mountain on the cover. And I turned it over and read the back. And it told the story of this national scenic trail that goes from the Mexican border to the Canadian border through the California, Oregon, and Washington, up the crest of the Sierra Nevada and the Cascade Range. And just in that paragraph description of the book, something happened inside my body. I could feel like an opening in my chest. And it was this magnificent thing, this trail. I'd never heard of the PCT. I'd never heard of a National Scenic Trail. But I knew this is something powerful. This is something beautiful and magnificent. And I knew I wasn't those things at that time, but I needed to attach myself to something that was. I just believed really in the promise of what the wilderness could give me, you know? And so I also love the idea of the simplicity of just being there with my pack. And my job, my only job, was to walk, to put one foot in front of the other and move forward. And of course, even saying that sentence to you right now, that's what I had to do emotionally and psychologically. That's what we all have to do, right? We, you know, the only direction is forward. And the only way to get there is one step at a time. And I think that, you know, we take that for granted. For most of us and most of our days, it's pretty easy to put one foot in front of the other. But I was at this time of my life where every step hurt. And I went on the PCT. And what happened is every step literally hurt. You know, my feet were blistered and I had this incredibly heavy pack and I was just absolutely physically suffering. But enduring that physical suffering taught me everything I needed to know about how to endure psychological suffering or emotional, you know, loss. Endure the fact that I would have to live the rest of my life without my mom. And somehow enacting that physically, it did. It taught me everything I needed to know about how to live and thrive.
So many people have found themselves in the wild.
Yeah.
And even if it's just for an afternoon, if you're stressed, going out for a hike or whatever.
Yeah.
It is a way of centering, and you went big on that. Now, you had a love for the outdoors that you grew up with. However, it doesn't sound from the talk you gave the other day as though you were really into doing a lot of hiking. I mean, what kind of physical condition were you in to start a big trek like this?
Well, I did love to hike, but I was a day hiker. And I also camped a lot, but what that meant to me was, you know, I had this little pickup truck with a futon in the back, and I would drive, you know, to national forests and state parks and national parks and, you know, just pull up into the little camp spot with the picnic table and the fire pit and, you know, crawl into the back of my truck and sleep. And so that's wonderful. I mean, I think that was the way that I was really in the wilderness before I hiked on the PCT. And what I learned is really, you know, there's a big difference between doing that and putting a pack on your back and heading off into this, you know, long trail. I was really heading into areas that were just unreachable by automobile, really. I mean, there were times that I would hike for days without seeing another person. The first 8 days of my hike, I didn't see another person. That was the longest stretch I went, and it was quite a baptism, let me tell you, into solitude. But it was, you know, a normal thing to go 2 or 3 days between times that I'd see a person or even cross a road. There might be a jeep road I would cross, but a lot of the Sierra Nevada is just uncrossed, literally uncrossed by pavement for hundreds of miles. And so it was an education. I think sometimes when people are critical of wild and what I did, they'll say, "Oh, you went out there and you were unprepared." And really, that's always funny because I do think in some ways I was wildly unprepared. And I also think that some of the best things I've ever done, I've been wildly unprepared for. And the way that you learn how to do them is by doing them. You know, I got out there and I learned how to backpack. I learned how to be a good hiker and a good wilderness camper and a trekker. And, you know, I when you learn something the hard way, you never forget it. And so I think there was a lot of value in, you know, in preparing myself the best I could in the ways that I could, and then also knowing that the trail had so much to teach me.
Talk about that first day before you head out, before you put the pack on your back, and you're in the hotel room.
Yes.
In the Mojave Desert.
Yes. So I checked into this little hotel. It cost $18 for the night. I think it was the cheapest hotel in town, in the town of Mojave, California. The PCT crosses a highway about 10 miles west of the town of Mojave. So I checked in, and the next morning I had all of my stuff there on this bed in this motel room, and I had never really technically packed my pack before, which I know is a bad idea. Wild is not a how to hike book, you know. It's what I did and what I learned. And so I packed all this stuff. A lot of this gear I hadn't even taken out of its packaging yet. I just purchased it at REI, and there I was loading all this stuff into the pack. I also, because I began hiking the trail in such a dry section, I had to carry so much water. So on day one, I had to carry 24 and a half pounds of water to get me through to the first place where I would find a water source. And, you know, because I was in the Mojave Desert Mountains, after all. So I get everything onto my pack. And what happened is I couldn't lift it. And when I say that, I mean it actually. Like, I could not lift that pack. People often ask me, how much did it weigh? And, you know, I didn't have a scale with me, so I can't say. But I'm going to guess it was about 80 pounds at least. And it could not be lifted. And when I was riding Wild, you know, I took this hike in 1995. The book was published in 2012. I began writing it in 2008. So I had moved into this new time of my life, and I had perspective on the experience, but I still, you know, really didn't know, okay, should I ever write a book about my hike? Is it worthy of a book? I didn't want to just write a book that was like, look at me, I took a big hike. I mean, many people have hiked further and better and all of those things. I wanted to write a book about hiking in the wilderness that was about the human spirit, was about what it means to be human. And when I was writing that scene that I just described to you, of having that pack, you know, the paradox of the pack that was too heavy to lift, and yet it was a pack that I had to lift. That's when I really saw, you know, what that moment was about in my life and what the book is about. And that is, you know, asking that bigger question of how is it that we bear the unbearable? We all have to do that. we all have to, in some metaphorical way, strap that pack on and walk out the door, even though that feels impossible to do. And so that's where I really knew I had the book in me. In my life, what I knew is I had to get on that trail, no matter what. There wasn't another option. There was no fork in the road. It was only get the pack on and get out the door and get on the trail. So I got it on. If you want to know how, you have to read the book.
I can't wait. What were some of your fears surrounding this big adventure before, during, and then even after?
Mm-hmm. Well, right away, I knew that I had to be in charge of fear. You know, I think we can all sit there, you know, in our lives before we venture into the wilderness and think about all of the bad things that can happen. And some of those things are realistic and some of those things are unrealistic. And so what I did is I planned for the realistic ones. I made sure that I had enough food and water with me. I made sure that I had emergency gear, you know, to stay warm, to stay dry, to have shelter, to have, you know, all of those basic things we need to live. But, you know, I think that what holds us back, most of us, is we think about the crazy things, like there's a serial killer out there on the trail waiting for women to come along, or, you know, and also we're always told as women, right, especially as women, never go alone. You know, you are, you're in danger and you're putting yourself in danger. And I just decided that that wasn't true and that I wanted to hike in the wilderness by myself and I wasn't going to be held back by silly notions of what could happen to me. I just decided that I was not going to be afraid and that I was strong and I was safe. And I really honestly talked to myself a lot about that. You know, as I write in my book, my mantra was, I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I said that to myself many times in my hike. And most of the time, what's really true is most of the time I wasn't afraid. You know, once I got through those first few days and began to feel comfortable in the wilderness, my perspective shifted and I felt safe there. The trail began to feel like home, which sounds so strange, but it was true. And let me tell you, the feeling of the whole wild world being home is something I've never forgotten. It's so powerful to lie under the, you know, the night sky and look at the stars and just feel like that you were part of this universe in a way that I never felt before when I was in enclosed structures. It has stayed with me. As I'm talking to you, I'm getting tears in my eyes because it still means so much to me.
It was, I haven't read the book, but from what I'm hearing from you, it was an immensely transformative experience.
It was. It was. And people often want to know. I mean, there's been this whole other journey since Wild came out. I had no idea so many people would read the book. But these last 2 years, since people have read the book all over, I've had this opportunity to talk about it a lot. And I've learned a lot through that process, too. And what I've learned is that I think most of us, you know, we're looking for that big, grand epiphany. Because the one question I get over and over was, what was the big epiphany where you knew you were transformed or the trail had changed you? And the answer is that there wasn't one. It was really a sort of cumulative experience of one day after the other, 1 mile after the other, 1 hour after the other, 1 month after the other, coming together to form a whole. That was the experience. And some of the experience was absolutely miserable. And some of it was hilarious. And some of it was magnificent. And it was all of those things. And it was hot. And it was cold. And it was wet. And it was snowy. And it was everything. And I got to have it. And so by the end, the epiphany was, wow, thank you. The epiphany was humility and gratitude. And I think that those two things, they have served me, you know, all of my life. Whenever I feel horrible about anything, if I can remember humility and gratitude, it changes my whole state of being.
Can't wait to crack the book.
Thank you.
I am visiting with Cheryl Strayed, author of Wild, and Cheryl was a guest here at the 2014 Mountain Film Festival here in Telluride, Colorado, with the theme of wilderness. What was one of the things that you missed the most out on the trail?
Well, as any of your listeners know, when you go on a long distance backpacking trip, or even just a week, you know, what you miss are those lovely things that we take for granted. Food, of course, you know, a wide selection of fresh foods and you know, lovely cold beverages and those sorts of things. But one of the most powerful things I missed, that I didn't know how much I would miss it, was music. And, you know, as I said, I was out there by myself so much. And so there was all of this headspace I had to occupy. I ended up thinking about everything in my life, everything in the world over the course of those 94 days. But what happened to me every day of those 94 is all of this, the music of my life would come into my head, whether I wanted it to or not. So, and then my mind would fixate on that song. So sometimes it might be, you know, a Joni Mitchell song or Lucinda Williams or somebody I loved. And I would curse myself for not memorizing the words to those songs because I would be trying to piece them together to sort of sing them to myself in my head. But sadly, the words I always remembered, and these things would come into my mind, it would be like jingles from commercials I'd seen, like, you know, the Burger King commercial that was airing, you know, broadly when I was a child, or songs from the 80s from my high school years that I'd wish that I could forget, but I knew every word. And so I would, you know, be haunted by music the whole time. And whenever I would come into civilization, sometimes I would, you know, the trail would cross a road and I would need to hitchhike a ride down to the town or maybe a little gas station or bar or whatever to get my next resupply box. And whenever I was picked up by anyone, I would just be like, okay, what music do you have? You know, can we please listen to music? And, it, you know, this one man picked me up and he had a Nancy Griffith CD and he put it in and it was like ecstasy, you know, to listen to these songs that were so beautiful to me.
Now, on the flip side, talking about the quiet you experienced out in the wild, aside from all of the wonderful sounds of nature, were you able to completely still your mind?
Right.
Because that's something that it's not an easy thing to do.
It isn't. I'm the world's worst meditator. I love solitude. I can go days without interacting with another person and be perfectly happy. But I'm so bad at emptying out my own mind. I'm like my own little chatterbox. And I did sometimes, I have to say, what was really interesting to me, as I just said it, you know, I thought through so many things from my life and I would play those songs in my head. But it was so hard to hike. And keep in mind, I was carrying this heavy pack. I was going up and down mountains through all kinds of really difficult terrain and day after day after day hiking, you know, about 20 miles. And so this was, you know, physically really challenging and it never stopped being challenging. It was always hard. And there would be a point, you know, sort of late afternoon of each day that I would just be so tired, so physically worn out that, you know, my only thought was keep walking. And I would count my steps sometimes, you know, count to 10 and then go back to zero, count to 10 steps, go back to zero, just to keep myself moving forward. And then finally, I would just be so exhausted that I couldn't even think. I just had to walk. I had to just walk to the place that I needed to get that day. And I was just entirely spent. Now, I don't know if that state of mind is the same as the state of mind we try to reach when we're meditating or in mindful, you know, practice. But it certainly was, it was emptying. It gave me something. I don't know what yet.
Cheryl, let's say a word or two about the upcoming movie. Of course, the book Wild has been a huge success. And so Hollywood came a-calling.
That's right.
And the movie is to be released soon.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Thank you. I couldn't be more thrilled. Everything that anyone has said to me about the Hollywood experience has not been true. I've had just such a positive experience. So the movie will be released on December 5th into theaters in the U.S. And what happened is it was actually It was actually optioned for film before it was published. A few months before Wild was to be out, my agent said, you know, maybe we should look, you know, shop it around Hollywood and see if anyone's interested. And we decided to take it first to Reese Witherspoon because we knew that she was looking for roles for herself, a strong female role. And of course, what better? I mean, Wild is basically just the story of one woman walking alone through the wilderness. And we took it to her. She read it over the course of a weekend. It happened so quickly. So we gave it to her like on a Thursday or Friday. And Monday, I got a call saying that she loved the book and was interested in optioning it for her new production company, which she had just started with her producer, Bruna Papandrea. And we got on the phone, Reese and I, and just talked really deeply for about an hour about the book, about my life and her life, and what her vision for the film was, what she hoped to do with it, why it mattered to her. And I just felt such a connection with her immediately, and I just trusted her with it. And she and Bruna, you know, said that they would get it made as quickly as possible. And here we are. The book's just been out a little more than 2 years, and the film, you know, the final cut is nearly done, you know, of the film. And it's really, really spectacular. It's directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, who was the director of Dallas Buyers Club and other films. He's such a genius and a wonderful spirit. The screenplay was written by Nick Hornby, who's one of my favorite writers of all time. And I was really involved, you know, at every step of the way. Reese and Bruna and Jean-Marc and Nick and everyone involved with the film invited my voice into the film. And they really wanted to stay true to the book. So I've seen the film. Laura Dern plays my mother, which is really, she's such an extraordinary person and actress. And I've seen the film numerous times. And what I can tell you is it's Reese Witherspoon in a role like you've never seen her. She is raw. She's so raw and so brave and so gritty. And the landscapes in the movie are just stunning. You know, it was shot in Oregon where I live. I live in Portland, Oregon. Shot in Oregon and California. And it really does tell a story that we don't get to see that much on the big screen, especially, you know, starring a movie star like Reese Witherspoon.
And it sounds like the wilderness is one of the lead characters in it.
Absolutely. Just like in the book.
How great.
You know, the wilderness is a character. The trail is a character. And so that comes through really strongly in the film as well. And I couldn't be more excited about it. I can't wait to share it with the world.
Terrific. I have been visiting with Cheryl Strayed, author of the book Wild. And I imagine signed copies are available at Between the Covers bookstore in Telluride.
Well, yesterday there was a signing, the Reading Frenzy signing as part of the Mountain Film Fest, and I signed books nonstop for 2 hours. And when I left the table, there were about 5 copies left. I signed them all, and so they might still be in the bookstore if you rush down there.
Okay, they might just. Otherwise, the book is available in bookstores nationwide and otherwise. And I am going to be posting this as a podcast at my blog at bonjourcolorado.com. Cheryl, I'd like to thank you for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Thank you so much. It was a delight to talk to you.
Thank you very much. And safe travels back to Oregon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that weep, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow